We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey guys, welcome to Spare Change. We're going to break down things we might have missed at Dover, and we're going to preview a little bit of Kansas here. First off, I don't think we did the best shout-outs for Daniel Hamrick in that 31 car. Big day there. Was the beneficiary of going long, catching a caution, but he was able to get his elbows out and keep that Camaro in the top 10. It's a tough start to the year for those guys, and I was glad to see my Stacking Pennies reserve host from Talladega have a good run.
Maybe that's what turned them around.
Maybe.
And then Noah also top 10. Shout out to Noah. They've been strong this year, man.
Yeah,
in an SHR camp that has struggled, they've been strong, and it was a bummer for Ryan Preece. I thought that was a place he could have a strong run, but his car started on fire. Sounds like the exhaust flange wasn't
properly
secured to the exhaust.
To the manifold.
Turns out that will start the foam on fire.
Yeah. All, it doesn't take much. He said he was riding it out, though, right? I saw his Bob Pockers interview. He said he got pretty warm.
I talked to him, and he said that he couldn't even take his Hunks clips off his helmets. They were so hot.
Oh, that's very hot.
Yeah, that's not great. That's not great.
Yeah, it's not good when your car catches on fire. Kind of like Ryan Sieg. I don't know if he had an oil line fall off in the Xfinity race. That thing was hot.
I didn't get to watch much of the Xfinity race except for the end, but there was a lot going on.
There was. Comers, goers, spinner outers, car catching on fire. Yeah, that was one of the bigger ones. I hadn't seen one really burn down like that Ryan Sieg Ford Mustang in a minute. What else is there?
I heard Brad Keselowski had a hell of a quote about
it was the talk of the lounge.
Let me read it from Jeff Gluck. Brad Keselowski on the injured Erik Jones having to watch someone else drive the number 43 car this weekend. I've never seen somebody sleep with my wife, but I imagine that's what it'd be like.
It's a bit extreme. Maybe, like, dance with your wife. Like, may I have this dance?
I don't. Hey, man.
If that's what it is, man, that's what it is.
I don't know. I don't know that I'm going that far to say that. I think that I hold my wife in higher regard to my race car, but whatever. You know, I don't. Brad owns the team. Maybe it's a different deal.
Maybe it is. It's like, I pay for that. Somebody else is driving it. I don't like that.
I don't know. The more you talk about it. I don't know.
It's kind of weird.
Kind of messy to me.
But maybe he was just trying to get it to where we're talking about.
Maybe it was like a funny quote that just landed awkwardly. I don't know. Larson showed some data from his mouth guard this past week. Have you worn one of these? And anything that surprises you from the data? I saw you with your mouth guard in at the end of the race, actually, so you can speak on this.
I can. I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but I'm going to.
Toot it. Toot your horn, buddy.
So I was one of the very few guys that developed that. A couple years ago, they started doing it, and it goes through Wake Forest University, and the original ones were up on the top of your mouth, like, and you were talking, you couldn't talk. It would make your mouth super dry.
It's like having a retainer.
Yeah, like a fat one, because it was probably a half inch thick. So I thought, I'm not called a little fat here. I can't, I'm coming to you. So it was super uncomfortable, and you couldn't be clear with you couldn't breathe well. But that was the only version that they had, because when you're playing football, you don't want anything on the outside of your mouth, right? Because you're going to get hit, or if you're playing soccer, if you're going to headbutt, or I don't know, whatever. But nobody would wear them because they were so uncomfortable. And I wear an Invisalign at night to keep these pearly whites straight. And I went to them. I said, hey, can we make an Invisalign type and put all the stuff and the batteries and the sensors on the outside? And they're like, I guess so. So now they made them, and there's probably 25 guys that wear that Invisalign style mouthpiece retainer. So
25 guys in the field.
Yeah.
Really? So almost everybody.
A lot of them.
Do our guys wear them?
Joey does.
I don't know. I've ever seen Blaney with one, but I've never seen Joey when he gets out of the car.
Ryan doesn't wear one because one time he's the first model they gave him. I don't know if like the plastic casing wasn't sealed or something, but he like had like a metallic taste in his mouth, and he's like, I'm not wearing that again. Not tasting
color. Done.
So that was it. They had their one shot and they missed it. But Larson, where did he share the data on?
I don't know.
Social media? Seen it. From Talladega, from the wreck. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So that was.
And he showed that it's hard on the brain when you go through there.
Oh, yeah. It was it was legitimately the. So it measures X, Y, and Z moments over 4 Gs. That's what triggers a moment. And it can keep up with all the moments throughout the race, particularly at Watkins Glen. They're changing the curbs because we were legitimately launching the cars over the curbs. And it was 14 to 18 G's every time you launched it, and you're not going to not launch it because that's the fastest way, and you just smash your head up against a headrest a couple times. So last week I was wearing one for the crash, and there was about 4 or 5 instances, like a 12, a 18, a 20, a 12, and then when the car went on its roof, it was like a 20, and then when it came back on all fours, it was 63 G's.
Mm.
Just for a split second. But 63 G's when that girl came down on all fours was not.
That's why you said that one hurt.
That one hurt. So, yeah.
What does it connect to? Like, where is it?
It stores it, and then they download it after the race. And then they take it all apart and line it up with the race. Yeah. Okay. It's really neat technology, and it shows you, if you really want to get into the weeds, it shows you if you have a big instance, your probability of a concussion. That's what a lot of the advancements from the head surround foam has been made from just wearing these mouthpiece sensors alone. So it's been cool to be on the forefront of that.
So here we have his tweet. It says, my mouthpiece data from last year through the bus stop. Something needed to be done there. What was there before was not safe for the brain. Hopefully this is better. Did they change something at Watkins Glen? I didn't know anything about that.
Yeah, so they changed the Armco barrier, and they added some different rumble strips to essentially just soften so you don't launch the car off fours. Okay,
cool.
Which leads me to another rabbit hole that I don't want to go down, but I'll touch on it. We keep making the runoffs more forgiving. We keep repaving the exit of all these corners. We keep making the curbs more forgiving so you can run more over and it doesn't rip the underpan of the body off. And we're not making these racetracks to where you have to run the way the racetrack was originally intended to be raced. So you're straightening out of the corner, you're making the minimum speeds go up, and Watkins Glen is statistically the worst place by a mile to pass because it's one groove, there's no options, and the minimum speeds have went up 15 miles an hour from what. So as we keep making the runoffs in turn one more forgiving off the carousel corner, the bus stop becomes getting more straight, so you don't have braking moments to overtake.
To just be grass and road?
Yeah.
But then you get in like a Jimmy Johnson situation.
He'd run out of brakes.
Yeah, but there's nowhere to stop.
Yeah, the styrofoam and the wall's gonna catch you.
Nobody.
When's the last time you seen somebody's brakes go out?
It
was 1998.
I think there was another incident.
I don't think there was. So I don't know. I'm on the side of like we need to start making like these little cups that they had at LA to where they don't let you run like the very bottom, but you can kind of run down there. And it's not quite as good. We need to do that on all the runoffs at the road courses. So you actually have to keep the race car on the freaking road.
Just no curbs, just grass and road.
No, because then you got guys dropping the right sides off to put dirt on the racetrack for the cars behind you. I think you make the curbs more aggressive.
Walls.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I'm with you, though. I think
you're
right.
Keep the cars on the racetrack as it was intended.
I'll tell you what I didn't like was how you had to run the dirt at Dakota. Like how everybody was in the dirt.
It's dumb.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Put curbs in there. Make us run on the actual racetrack.
Turtles. But we're going to Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
You like Kansas?
I do.
Have you had good runs there?
I've had some good ones, had some bad ones. Like Kyle Busch said in his interview post Dover, you don't know. Momentum from one track doesn't carry over to the next. You really hope that you're previous notes, your historical notes, and your sim time all kind of mesh together, and you bring a good setup to the racetrack, because it's a little bit of a crapshoot, honestly. If you don't have good historical notes on what you bring to the racetrack, it's usually a little bit of change of philosophy, and you can show up and be 10th, and you can show up and be 32nd.
Yeah.
That's how tight the field is anymore. But the ones who have great historical notes is that 2311 group in Toyota.
Yeah, the last three races won there by Reddick, Hamlin, and Bubba. So if you're not in a 2311 car, you own one.
Yeah.
That's how you win there. I don't know. The Toyota.
This is the race where the 11 wrecked the 5 on the last lap down the backstretch.
Yeah. Yeah, this is where the beef. There was some serious beef. It's been the, you know, I think Bob Pockers in his post little video he does, he said it's been Hendrick versus Gibbs.
Yeah.
You know, and the 2311 can fall under that Gibbs banner for just all intents and purposes. But that's what it's been this year, and we'll see if the Fords, you know, can show up and show out. They haven't won yet this year,
right?
In any series. No what? Ford in any series has won this year.
Yikes, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been tough for sure. So might be eating Christmas dinner at your house this year if we don't get some bonus money coming in. This is a really good track for the 12 bunch. I know we've run well there even back with the 21 car. It's a place where you gotta and get it on pit road too.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to be great on pit road, much like this is like a 10-week stretch. This will be the second of 10 weeks where it's just you gotta let it eat on pit road. So excited to get to Kansas, and it's going to be a blue-collar day. It's much like Dover. You're going to see teams that are – you're going to have to be strong all day long. It's not going to be like a Cole Custer-type win when he won here where you can kind of figure it out on the top. It's
That was Kentucky.
What was it?
Yeah.
Well, same
thing.
It's not
going
to be like a mile – Kentucky, Kansas. It's not going to be like a mile-and-a-half type win where you can luck into it. You're going to have to earn
it'll be
it
straight up.
Yeah.
Maintain track position, having good restarts. And it's hard to get track position. Restarts are wild, 3-4 wide, big runs, big blocks. And you can race from the bottom to the very top. So I think Kansas has aged like a fine wine. It's a cool racetrack.
Absolutely.
What else we got? We've been wanting to give a little shout out because it seems like you and I both are collecting some pretty cool challenge coins. And if you notice, if you're watching us on YouTube, we have some challenge coin boards up top, added some patches to it as well. Higgy, grab me that note. Because I get fan mail often, and sometimes like it stacks up and I don't get around to using it or reading it. So sometimes I go a couple weeks, more like months on end, where I don't see anything. But this one was a cool one to open this week. Had a nice letter attached with these patches. Behind me, one had a helicopter, and it says, "If it ain't one thing, it's a motherfucking another." I like that patch.
Is the helicopter smoking?
Yeah. Yeah, the helicopter's smoking, which I think if I'm in a helicopter and it's smoking, it's probably a bad thing because those things don't glide. But hey, right here, a little note, stacking pennies. Let me just go ahead and read Story Time with Corey. "Dear Corey and Skip, huge fans of the show, been watching every week on YouTube and listening on Spotify. Love hearing your takes on everything and all about all the guests. Listen to it every week on my last deployment, and we'll be on this next one. Send along some patches, coins from my current command, and some previous ones too. Love the support you show the military and everybody who serves. Hope to see you both at Talladega. Me and my girlfriend will be there and have garage passes. Hopefully I saw you. I even got myself a t-shirt and her a hoodie to represent the racetrack in Bama. A win's coming your way. Good luck, both of you, and be safe. Corey and Ryan Blaney are my favorite, me and my girlfriend's favorite drivers. Sincerely, Jeremy Barbary."
Yeah, big up to Jeremy.
Hey, appreciate that encouragement.
Got a challenge coin this weekend. You got the same one up there, the gold one in the end. It's always cool to meet military guys on what they do for. To incorporate the sport, what we do for the military guys, what they do for obviously what they do for us in the country is huge. So when we're able to give back a little bit with the small platforms we have with racing, it's really cool.
Absolutely.
To get to meet them and hear their stories. We've met a bunch this year, and that I think that's the best thing the podcast has done, is kind of give us more of a platform and to meet more people.
Yeah. So keep sending your challenge coins over. Appreciate those. We'll give you a shout out on Spare Change each and every week. One of the coolest moments of my life after that Blackhawk ride in Talladega, all the the two pilots and the two crew chiefs, they call them, they ripped their patches off the back of their helmets and handed it to me. So I got to hang those up on my Velcro wall. So that was pretty cool. But for all the men and women that are over there overseas and at home protecting us and allowing us to sit here and just babble on about racing and driving in circles, we appreciate you guys. And we appreciate you guys for tuning in. So tune in for Kansas. Hey, who's your pick this week?
12 car.
12 car is going to be pretty strong. They're always in the hunt there. I think we can run 12th to 18th if we get some brakes and some yellows and some bring car with good pace. I think we finished top 20 there both races last year. So we can do it.
Yeah, we got the pit crew back.
Got Ludwig back and Moss back changing rears. So we should have some real good stops. Some boys are solid. Get that 17 Baxter rolling. I'm going to go with Toyota. I'm going to go Todd Reddick.
Okay. Not a bad pick.
Yep. I'm going to go with them. Them boys will be fast. And that's all I got. This is Thursday's spare change for you, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a great weekend. Goodbye.